Okay, good morning, and if you have your Bibles, let's resume our studies here in the book of Colossians. And I tore my Bible page this morning. I'm going to have to break out the packing tape and fix it. I hate it when I do that. Apparently, yeah, too much coffee, went too quick. You know, I'll sometimes put little sticky notes in my Bible to give me a reference or add a note that's too large for me to write in the margin. And when you peel off the sticky note, you have to be really careful with Bible print because sometimes if the sticky note's been there long enough, it'll tear it. I got too quick and sure enough, tore the darn thing off and now it's half the pages lifted up like that. So we're gonna have to break out the old packing tape. Okay, that sounds good. That's what I was asking for anyway. You've got experience fixing Bibles over the years. Oh, yeah. All right, here in the book of Colossians, let's resume our studies in the third chapter. And we've been kind of going through this list of admonishments that the Apostle Paul has included in his epistle here towards the end of the book. And after we get past these, and we get into the salutations at the end of the book, it's going to go fairly rapidly to finish the book. So I suppose, if you would, keep it in prayer as to what I'm going to be preaching next, because I haven't quite figured that out yet. The Lord will direct me when the time is right. And so last week we were dealing with verse 20. Now it says here, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, we have to take every one of these admonishments and really everything in the Scriptures in a twofold manner. There's an outward truth kind of in the physical realm that goes along with the Word of God, and then there's a spiritual truth, a secondary truth that typically is the more important that goes along with every verse. And so, obviously, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are, even if we're adult males or females, and even towards the latter years of our life, we're still the children of our God. Okay? And so, just as the song went that we sang this morning, trust and obey, well, we have trust or faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are to obey him. And that can be taken, of course, the song itself sometimes can be taken as a legalistic thing. And obeying the Lord can be taken as a legalistic thing. But our relationship with the Lord, and we have to understand this very clearly as believers in Jesus Christ. Our relationship with the Lord is not based on legalism. It's based upon grace. And, as you are very well aware, or everybody present with me right now ought to be very well aware, grace is unmerited favor, okay? Our grace relationship with the Lord means that we have done nothing to please him, okay? Because we cannot please him in our lives. The way that we live our lives, the things that we've done, good or bad, never came into the equation of salvation. Salvation was based fully upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf, okay? That's what grace is. And so it's not about what we have done for God. It's about what God has done for us, and we entered into it by faith. And so in a by-faith relationship with the Lord, we then, the natural thought of the redeemed believer in Jesus Christ that understands the grace of God should be, Lord, what would you have me to do? Because we now belong to him, okay? So we are the Lord's children, and he is our father, our parent. Okay, spiritually speaking. And we're going to have that relationship with him for the ceaseless ages of eternity when we're in his presence, when we walk together with the Lord as Adam walked with the Lord in the Garden of Eden for the ceaseless ages of eternity. Our relationships one with another in our family bloodlines are going to be no more when we're in the presence of God because we're all going to be brothers and sisters now in Christ. We'll be related based upon our heavenly inheritance, not upon our earthly origins through blood. And so, as the Lord commands, we ought to do. And the Lord has not commanded us to live a life according to the law. Okay? Because we're not under law anymore. We are under grace.
So we, as the Apostle Paul proclaims and exclaims many times in the Scriptures, are to stand fast in the liberty that's been shown us in Jesus Christ. Okay? So what is this obedience that we ought to have to the Lord? Well, the Lord has given us a shopping list of things to do, so to speak, as His servants. Okay? And so we're each given certain gifts to be used for the betterment of the body of Christ. Each and every individual in the body of Christ has at least one gift to be used for the building up of the body of Christ. And when I say building up of the body of Christ, I mean the saving of souls, and then the education of those souls in the things of God, so they might learn more about their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who He is and who they are, and what our relationship with Him ought to be and is. Okay? And so those things come with the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. All right? And so in like manner, you know, how are we supposed to raise our natural children? Well, properly, we're supposed to raise our natural children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Turn again to Ephesians chapter 5. A couple books back. We looked at this last week, but I want to review it a little bit. And, you know, it's obviously proper and important to teach our kids how the world works. But you know, what type of education are we giving our kids if we only show them how the world works? Well, a worldly education. And where does the world base its reasoning? From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So if we're going to educate our kids properly in the way things really are or in truth, we have to educate them in the things of God. And that comes at an early age. And people might say, oh, you know, my little daughter is 1 or 2 years old, or maybe even a newborn. There's no way they're going to understand anything about God. Well, that's not necessarily true. Kids are like sponges. Little kids, you know, it always amazed me raising Noah. And now with Auden and Nora, my other two little kids, you might tell them something about God or about this or about that, and you think they're not absorbing it, or they're not listening. Now, later on, the subject may come up again, and they might say, oh, that's this thing you told me about. And so, you know, they may not have an adult response to you and say, yes, I understand that, sir, or something like that. But it's being absorbed on some level. And we have to remember, faith comes how?
Hearing.
By hearing. And hearing by what? By the Word of God. And who gives the increase?
God
Himself. You know, Paul said, I planted. The Apostle Paul planted, or that means planted the seed, broadcasting the seed, which is the Word. Apollos watered. I may be getting them backwards. Doesn't really matter. Okay, good. Now I feel better about myself. And who gave the increase? God Himself gave the increase. Okay, so you can take me. Pastor Andre planted. I watered. And sometimes it goes the other way. Or I planted, Pastor Andre watered. And sometimes it seems like our messages will coincide, or like he says sometimes, you know, he'll preach one thing and I'll clinch the nails over so that it cannot be broken, that kind of thing. And that's the Spirit of God working. But neither Pastor Andre nor I nor Paul nor Apollos can save a single soul. And really, we can't cause any of the saved souls to grow by the way we speak, by the inflection in our voice. I try to sound as decent as possible. I know sometimes I feel like I talk too fast, but just listen to Ben Shapiro, and then you'll get a good education and a fast talker. But I always say, well, you got to keep up then. But or the order in which we give things, or the way we describe things, none of those methods of preaching are going to be the things that cause a person to believe it. It's by the power of the Spirit of God blessing it to your heart and mind that you might make it your own through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, which when He enters you to indwell you, His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're His. And so literally by the power of God, you believe the things that are freely given to you of God. It may come out of my mouth, Pastor Andre's mouth, Paul's mouth, Apollos' mouth, but God gives the increase. It's the same way with our little children, okay? So if our little children are chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, and there's no guarantee that they are, but God is in the business of saving families, if we continually tell them about the things of the Lord, even if we may think it's too complex for them, eventually they will understand if it's within the Lord's will for them to understand. Okay? So don't refrain from telling them. You know, teach them the song, Jesus Loves Me. You know, tell them to pray for their food before they eat because the Lord's the one that gave it to them. Okay? All those little things that we do are building blocks to help our children through the Spirit of God eventually understand who the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. Okay? And so we're supposed to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that's what it says here. So it says here in verse 4, this is the sixth chapter of Ephesians. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You know, sometimes mothers and fathers can do this. Sometimes we can discipline our children because we just think, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do, when it's not a fitting discipline. Or we might be anger prone, and if they're not obeying us, we're just going to, you know, beat them to a living pulp. You know, those kind of things have their place. You know, sometimes when I've spanked my kids, you know, it's sometimes it requires a more vigorous spanking than others, but it ought not to be done out of anger. Okay? Now, typically, you know, if one of my kids have gotten in trouble, you know, I would say, you know, well, you know, obviously point out the infraction, and if able, you know, spank them immediately, but tell them why you're doing it. And you go, you know, go about bringing them to an area that's proper. You know, I used a wooden spoon. I know that I'm probably going to be arrested now after saying that. Beating my children with a weapon. That's not what it is, okay? Your rear end is it's a big fat holder is what it is. It's a basket of fat, okay? And it's got nerves on the outside. And when your kid's wearing a diaper, especially if you have a lot of, like, mass like my hand does, it kind of doesn't really do anything. You end up, if I hit my spank, I should say, now I'm nervous. If I spank my young child with my large hand, in order for it to hurt, I kind of have to do it hard, so I may have to bruise because I got really big hands. If you have smaller hands, you kind of whip them. I'm going to give you an education on how to spank your children. Yeah, you all know this. But anyway, so a wooden spoon will sting a little bit. Okay, it's got, you know, if you hit them with the flat side, not the edge. I did it with a hanger one time. Don't do that. That was a mistake. But but he lived. That left welts. You know, but we're not to spare for the Scripture says we're not to spare for the blueness of the wound. You know, in all reality. And the rod of discipline will drive what? Foolishness far from the child. And so, you know, we want to give them something they'll remember. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we don't do it out of anger. We do it because we love them, because we want to show them the way they ought to go. And so we do it, you know, in a manner that's controlled and shows the lesson and gives them something to remember. And if you spank your kids properly, they're going to remember the lesson because it hurt. Okay? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to see this here over in Hebrews, our Lord Jesus Christ has to spank and scourge, which means really beat the living hell out of, whip, every son whom he receiveth. For if you're without chastisement, are you what? Bastards and not sons. And you know what a bastard is? We might call each other bastards. I didn't know what a bastard was until I came here and Pastor Andre told me, so I was using the word bastard, not knowing what it meant for like 25 years. You know, a bastard is an illegitimate child. Okay? And so, you know, we don't want to be illegitimate children of the Lord. There's millions of illegitimate children of the Lord around, and the Lord's not disciplining them because they don't belong to Him. People that name the name of Christ as their Savior and name alone, and they don't have any faith in Him as the Redeemer of their soul. Okay, they believe that their life is going to somehow stand before God, and He's going to accept them based upon the rationale of the good they've lived their life versus the bad that they lived in their life. That's not how we get into heaven. Okay, those are bastards and not sons. Now, would to God all those bastards would become sons by trusting the true and living Savior that died for their sins according to the Scriptures, but not all will. And so he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. The discipline that we discipline our children with is supposed to be counsel, okay? That they might learn how they're supposed to live their life and who their Lord is. And so he says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And it's interesting, through study I found this, the word nurture here is the same word used over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, where we see chastening. Okay? It's the Greek word paideia. And turn over there with me, Hebrews chapter 12. Nurture sounds all nice and cozy, like wrap your kid in a blanket and give him a kiss and tell him a story on how things work. But that's not the word that our Lord used here in the accepted translation, so or the Greek translation. So Hebrews chapter 12. And it says here, verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he did. He endured a contradiction of sinners. Sinners themselves, putting our Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. When that man died for their sins and is the Messiah of their own religious practices that they've been looking for thousands of years. Contradiction of sinners. Okay? So, he says, consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against the sin. Okay? And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my sons, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Okay? And this word chastening is the same word that we see over in Ephesians for nurturing, and it's paideia, and it means discipline. Okay? So, spanking. And, you know, if you've ever had a hard time in your life or things just weren't working out, and, you know, it's kind of interesting lately. We've been kind of going through this, and you have to kind of, the more you grow in grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the more you see the hand of the Lord in your life, okay? Because if you start thinking more according to thus saith the Lord, and the Lord's trying to angle your life to thus saith the Lord, you see the action the Lord's taking in your life. You know, I'm going to use a personal testimony here. You know, I married Emily, and it's her desire to, you know, be at home with the kids. Because, you know, first of all, if you're daycare is incredibly expensive anymore. I mean, shoot, when Noah was in daycare when he was younger, which was necessary because I was running the business, I think it was about $700 or $800 a month back then, which is, you know, big money. And now it's at least double that per kid. So you've got to be making a ton of money in order to afford to bring your kids to daycare. So we have people that are working a job, you know, a mother and a father working two jobs, and maybe the mother's income or sometimes the father's income is simply paying the daycare. Well, what's the point of paying somebody to raise your kids? Because they're not raising your kids. They're feeding them. They may be teaching them a lesson here or a lesson there, but they're not raising your kids. They can't do that. Okay? So it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it's interesting how difficult we believe the Lord has been making it for her to stay at her job. And so she put in her resignation, and she's going to be a stay-at-home mom, which is an honorable pursuit on all accounts. And, you know, it's funny how the Lord uses things in your life to turn your mind and turn your hand. And he did that with me as well. You know, it's you've heard my testimony over the years. You know, I tried to do everything I could not to become a preacher because I was scared of it. You know, flat scared. And, you know, I would spend, things happened to me and I would have agonizing time, you know, personal inflection where I'd go to the shower in the evening after I got home from work and I'd just cry because just the inner turmoil. You know, it was the Lord chastening me, okay? And it says here, if we read on, And, you know, the only reason why I was crying was because I knew what the Lord had for me in my mind, and he was pushing me that direction, but I was resisting. Well, sound like a similar story. Everybody here, so far as I know, has had kids in their life. You know, that's what kids do. So we are literally the children of God, and we resist. So we have to be turned toward the truth, or raised in the way that we should go, and our Lord does that for us as believers in Jesus Christ. And so he says, faint not when thou art rebuked of him for whom the Lord loveth. And why did he redeem us? Because he loves us and desires to spend the ceaseless ages of eternity with us in fellowship. Okay? So whom the Lord loveth and chasteneth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And scourgeth, because sometimes that's necessary, okay? If you have a typical, very self-willed child, you know, sometimes you've got to kind of lay it down, okay? Because if they continue to go with their own will, and their own will is going to harm them mentally or physically, you don't want that for them. So you have to change their mind. And sometimes the Lord has to do that for us as believers as well. And so you got life hard? Things not working out well for you, the direction you're going just doesn't seem to be working for you, even if you try and, you know, shove it under the rug, well, maybe it's the Lord trying to change your mind. Okay? You've got to consider that. He's within each and every one of us. He walks next to each and every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. He doesn't leave us the second we leave these church doors. He goes home with us. So if things aren't working out for you, maybe you ought to give the Lord a listen if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because he's likely trying to push you in a direction that he wants you to go. And so he says here, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening or correction, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement or discipline, whereof all are partakers, then are you what? Bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits, or God himself, and live? Okay. For they verily for a few days chasten us or discipline us after their own pleasure, and that doesn't mean, I love beating you, you know. I'll be honest, sometimes you're like, you little, you know, why I oughta. I know, you got to give it a minute to breathe, right? No, our kids can anger us. And I'm quite certain I've probably made the Lord angry too a time or two, you know. But when we do discipline our kids and we have a experienced bout of anger, because we're human and that happens, take the time, catch your breath, calm down a little bit, bring into their room, tell them what needs to be done, lay them over your leg, and wallop them good. That might sound like I'm being a tyrant, but no, that's actually loving your kid. If you never discipline your children, I'm speaking to a group of adults that are all older than me, basically, but who knows who's listening? I got a little taste of the amount of folks who are actually listening to these messages, and it goes far, far beyond the congregation here at Grace Baptist. So it's a good thing. But, you know, if you don't spank your kids and you don't discipline them, then later on in life they'll wonder if you really even love them. Because if you just raise your kid and just feed him and kick him out the door, you know, where is the love? Where is the life guidance? If you want them to succeed in life and you want them to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as their Savior, then you'll guide them in that way because you want what's right and good for them. And so if that doesn't happen, it can cause a child to question whether their parents do want what's right and good for them or whether they love them. Okay? And so, you know, not spanking your kids is really a terrible mistake. And so he goes on, for they, this is verse 10, verily, for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, or as seems right unto them. That's what this means. But for our profit, okay, so for the profit of the child, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You know, of course, now we're bringing this over into the spiritual. And so What does holiness mean? People think holiness means righteousness, but it doesn't. Holiness means separation. Okay? So the world, in its natural existence, is separate from the truth of the Word of God. So if we're going to correct our children in the things of the Lord, as the Lord does to us, okay, we're correcting them unto the truth, or unto holiness. All right? And so it says in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, obviously, you know, when I got spanked by my mother and father, you know, my dad did it with a belt. And so, you know, I got walloped real good when I was young. And eventually, you know, since I learned my lesson, all my dad had to do was whip off his belt, and I'd do it right now, but, you know, I'm sure you've all seen a cracked belt. Well, if you loop it and hold it at one end and just kind of pop it, it'll make a loud crack. Crack, crack, crack. So my dad would crack his belt, and we all know, you know, we got better shape up or else we got something coming. Okay, so it's not joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Okay? Now, when the Lord was chastening me and pushing my butt where I should have been going, you know, I wasn't studying. I had ample knowledge of the truth because when Pastor Andre would preach it to me, I would just absorb it. But I need more than that in order to preach the Word of God to you guys, you know? And so I wasn't studying. I wasn't pursuing what I was supposed to be pursuing, what I knew in my heart that the Lord was laying upon me that I should be pursuing to preach the Word of God because I was called to be a preacher. That's my existence. My existence in this world is to be a man of God, and then after I'm done being a man of God or can no longer do it or the Lord's done with me, He's going to bring me home. Okay? And what I want never is going to enter into that equation because the Lord's going to push me the way I ought to go. And if I'm super, super resistant and never do it, what's the point of me tarrying here in the foreign field? If I'm a poor soldier and I'm just dragging everybody else down, my commanding officer is going to take me and probably, you know, put me in the brig or wherever you go when you're a bad soldier, and take me off the field. Okay? So sometimes our Lord takes us home earlier than He intended to because we're just not doing what He said. And somebody else has to do it. And so He says, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So I eventually understood what was going on. The Lord turned my head, and I started studying and started preaching. And, of course, you remember the train wreck it was, my first couple months of messages, you know. And I look back, I used to be ashamed of it. But in all reality, if you never dive in and do something, you never figure out how to do it. That goes with serving the Lord, too. I was relying more upon my ability to remember things. I had extensive notes that I would take. If I just would have read them verbatim, it probably would have gone better. But what was happening was the Lord was leading me here, leading me there, putting into my remembrance portions of Scripture that I had studied or knew earlier to guide things in the way that He wanted to go. And I was resisting. And so I was having an internal struggle, fighting with the Lord as I was up here preaching. And I could feel the tension in my body building. And so it would turn me 14 shades of red. And next thing you know, I'm sweating. I tend to sweat anyway. You know, I guess I'm a hothead, like Pastor Andre says I am. you know, and the contention between me and God would be manifest in the pulpit, and that's why it came out rough. Okay? But then I realized eventually, okay, if He wants me to go to Romans chapter 5, go to Romans chapter 5. And guess what? He's going to give me what He wants out of Romans chapter 5, and it's going to come out because the Lord promised to bring all things to our remembrance. And also, you know, when He talked to, who was put to death first as a heretic, the first martyr?
Stephen.
What Stephen preached, I don't think Stephen ever gave any forethought to whatsoever. The Lord laid that upon his mind at that moment to tell those Pharisees exactly what they were, you know. And He does the same for me. He does the same for Pastor Andre. And He does the same for all of us when it comes time to witness. So, you know, even in that, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He's going to direct your path. That's what He's standing next to us for. That's what He's in us for. Okay? And so I eventually gave in. And then what happened was I realized
the great joy that comes along with serving the Lord. And so I was able to take part of the fruit of righteousness, like he says here. And it's been an incredible blessing for me. And I know it's been, and I'm not boasting myself when I say this, but I know it's been an incredible blessing for you, because even I was wondering what was going to happen after Pastor Andre went home to be with the Lord for several years. And after I kind of got deeper into the things of the Lord and realized the age of Pastor Andre, and I was looking around like kind of thinking, who else is going to take the wand after this, you know? Well, that happened to be me, which is the weirdest thing ever still in my mind, because I never considered myself to be a public speaker, let alone a man of God preaching the Word of God. But it's funny how the Lord works things out. So, you know, I don't say that in a boasting manner, but it's been a great joy and blessing for me to be a great joy and blessing for you. Because this is a joint effort. You know, I'm not just doing this by myself. I need your presence. I need your prayers. I need your tithes and offerings. I need your testimony. I need you to bring people to come to church so I have somebody to preach to. Same with Pastor Andre, you know. So, you know, we work in this body as one. There's one Lord. There's one body. Okay? There's one Spirit that is in all of us and abounds through all of us. And so that stuff might sound super ethereal and weird to the world, but when you have a little understanding of how God works and how he runs a congregation, then it starts making sense. Okay? So he says, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, whereof, and I mentioned this last week at the end of my message, when we spank our kids or discipline our kids, like little Nora, she... She's 2 years old, okay? I've never experienced a kid that actually had the terrible twos, because usually it happens around three. But Nora's definitely going into the terrible twos. She's a redhead, so she's got, you know, the little fire burning in her heart. That's a cute way of saying she's a bitch. But yeah, no, she's, you know, when you're telling your kid, stop doing that, and they just look at you like you're not even saying anything, that just really just gets my goat. But yeah, she's pretty stubborn and self-willed. But, you know, and so when you do spank her, it's like I don't think she cares about the physical part. I literally broke her heart by spanking her. And she'll put her little hands in her mouth and she'll start doing the crying thing. And, you know, they cry enough where they start hyperventilating a little bit. And next thing you know, they're in the corner with their slumped over like their whole life just ended. Well, that's what we're describing here, okay? And so he says, whereof lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, okay? Because if we love our parents, you know, we ought to be ashamed of what we've done. And if we discipline our kids and show them the way, kids know when they've done something wrong, and they know that they betrayed their parents a little bit by doing those things, so it does break their heart a little bit. So that's why we have the arms that hang down and the feeble knees that are shaking or even collapsed. And so afterwards, what do? We love our children, and so we lift them up, we embrace them, and they cry on our shoulder for a little bit. And, you know, you get a wet shoulder, and then maybe you cry a little bit yourself, too, if she's a cute little two-year-old redheaded girl that you love. And, you know, and you lift up the arms that hang down, and you reinforce them by telling them what happened so that next time they don't do it. You know, that's love. And that's exactly how the Lord deals with us as well, because the Lord loves us like we love our children. And so it says in verse 13, and make straight the paths, or proper, for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be what? Be healed. Okay? So the Lord heals us. And how does that happen? Through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. And so when I was kind of, you know, going the wrong way and was, you know, I still love to fish and I still love, you know, doing, I'm an outdoorsy guy. I like doing all kinds of outdoor stuff. Well, when does that primarily happen when you work? Well, it typically happens on the weekends. So what I was super concerned about was, oh, I'm going to lose my Sundays. I'm not going to have weekends to do this and to do that. But we have to understand, We're not here for ourselves, and we don't belong to ourselves. Now, is it okay to take a weekend and do some things you like? Sure. I've been fishing quite a bit lately because it's been a decent steelhead system, season, and I've been waiting 15 years for a decent steelhead season again. So I've been going, but I at this time, I'm doing it kind of out of a different, not trying to shirk my duties, and just continually think about fishing while trying to run away from work and from preaching, like I used to do, you know. And so you get your priorities straight, okay. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, we need to have our priorities straight when it comes to the Lord, because we belong to Him. You know, we don't belong to ourselves. And you may think, oh darn, I wish I belonged to myself. You know, we may not want to say that about ourselves, but oftentimes we think that within ourselves. You know, that's the flesh. That's the self-willed part of us. But would you rather be a mature man or woman in Christ, understanding what the will of God is and what the Word of God says about you and your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or just be freewheeling through the world looking for the next pleasurable thrill? You know, people get it wrong when they say that the best in life is happiness, joy. You know, typically happiness is a very momentary thing. You're doing something that brings joy. You know, barbecue will bring joy. Going fishing will bring joy. Whatever you like doing. Water skiing will bring. But all those things are momentary. But what is true joy? True joy is peace. True joy is peace. And you won't find peace in the natural realm. There is no peace with man, and there is no peace in the world. It's 100% tumultuous and full of turmoil. But the only place where you can find peace is with God. So when you understand what your Lord is, who your Lord and Savior is, and that you have a heavenly inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and fades not away and is reserved in heaven for you, that brings peace. But then that peace can be compounded. When you start learning about who your Lord and Savior is, who you are, and thinking more according to thus saith the Lord, like I always like to put it, the volume knob on the world just gets turned down to just about nothing. And you start thinking more according to thus saith the Lord and less according to the way the world thinks, which came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was planted by the devil. That's peace. That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so when you have peace, you can have true happiness. And so that true happiness is going to be realized when we're passed through the veil of death and we are ushered into the presence of the Lord and we're by the Lord's side for the ceaseless ages of eternity. So what have we been granted through salvation? Eternal peace. Eternal love. Eternal fellowship. All the things that we strive so hard for in life but never really find but for a short time in the natural realm. That's true. And so what are we here for, we have to ask ourselves. Are we here for seeking the next high? You know, honestly, most of us are running around like a bunch of drug addicts, just looking for the next high. But when you're doing drugs, is the high permanent? No. The alcohol buzz, whatever it may be, I mean, this is kind of a homely illustration. But honestly, that's how some of us live our lives. And so when we live properly and are shown the proper way, give yourself to the Lord. Don't skip church. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you'll learn and find what the peace of God that passes all understanding is. Because I can't just explain it to you and have you understand it. You have to grow there. Okay? Yes, you have salvation. And I'm not saying that you grow as in become more righteous and more holy as time goes by. That's not what I'm saying at all. You have a complete inheritance the second you trust Christ as your Savior. But the understanding of that inheritance can give you a level of peace that I can't even describe to you. And that comes through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and growing in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? And so going back over to Ephesians. Actually, let's return to Colossians. And I am going to go back to Ephesians again, but so keep your spot there if you have it marked. Okay. So verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And it says in verse 22, servants. Now, you may say to yourself, well, this isn't written to me because I'm not a servant. Well, we're all servants, okay? Do you have a job? Do you have kids? Do you have a family? Do you have anybody that relies on you for anything? You're a servant, okay? You may not be a slave, but we're all slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the word that's used. When Paul says he's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, a bondservant, the word in the Greek means slave, like literally owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is such thing as being a cruel tyrant slave driver, and there's such thing as being a decent slave driver that loves his slave as his family. That's the latter is the situation that we're in. Now, typically during the time that this was written, although it is written to us as well, there was a lot of indentured servants, or what we call slaves. Okay? So he says, now this goes along with verse 17 that we studied last week. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, like my employees do. Not all of them. It's pretty common when you have working class folks. I was right there with them for years and years and years until I became more into the management position in the mill. But, you know, I always kind of thought, you know, I'm stacking this unit of lumber or I'm grading this unit of lumber. The guy that's buying it probably wants a properly stacked unit of lumber or a properly graded unit of lumber. So I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for the guy that's going to buy the thing, which in turn will be serving your master or your boss, who happened to be my dad. Now, I didn't take advantage of that, though. I always had a good work ethic, you know. So, you know, you want things to be successful. And I suppose if you don't have some kind of stock in the company, I guess it's different. But, you know, I worked at – my first job was at McKinsey Outfitters. I had a brief stint at Dairy Queen. But McKinsey Outfitters in the mall years and years ago, Valley River Center, it's not there anymore. It used to be on the second level across from Willie's restaurant. Which always made me hungry because I could smell when they were burning the hamburgers over there. And I'd have to spend half my paycheck going over there to buy a hamburger and fries. I didn't make any money. And I was dumb. So, but, you know, I was responsible for the clothing section. So, you know, I would make sure all the coats were, because when a customer comes in and tries a coat on, he just chucks it back on the rack or sometimes it's on the floor. So you have to reface all the coats. You have to fold everything properly, make sure they're in size order. Of course, my fellow employees would kind of make fun of how meticulous I was at those things sometimes. And I just wanted my area to be clean, A, because if it wasn't, my manager was going to complain at me, and B, I'm being paid to do a job. It wasn't much pay, but if I'm going to put in the time and do it, I ought to do a halfway decent job, you know. So I always kind of had that ethic, and a lot of people don't. So a lot of folks are what we call eye servers. So when the manager is around, then they'll do their job properly. But if the manager's not watching, they'll kind of half posterior do their job. That's a nice way of saying it. Okay, half ASS. Okay, now we're good. All right, so thanks. So it says here, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, doing what? Fearing God. Well, you say, I'm not serving God when I'm working. Yeah, you are. You belong to Him. When you're outside the doors of the church, do you not belong to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I mean, come on, you know. So whatever we do how? By faith, as unto the Lord. And guess what? If we work that way, we're going to be rewarded for it at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to look into that next week. So he says, and I'll quit with this, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And I'll say that with God, add that to the end of it. We're going to look at that next week. Now, don't fear this verse because it's not meant to fear, okay? Or to engender fear, I should say. But we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be rewarded for all the things that are done by faith. Now, remember, whatsoever not of faith is what? Is sin. And the new covenant relationship is what? Their sins and iniquities will I remember against them how long or when? No more. So the things that are remembered at the judgment seat of Christ are not going to be all the negative or poor things that we've done or the things that we've done not by faith, but we're going to be rewarded for the things done by faith as good servants. And so we'll look at what that means next week. So kind of park your minds there, and then we'll develop that as we go forward next week. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace. We thank you for the privilege that we have to serve the Lord. And we just ask that you give us the strength to do so in a manner that's suitable to God. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.